Friends with brews?
Did that not come through?
I heard it.
Weird. It didn't register on my... Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one because now it swapped our order. Now I'm a... But oh my God. Okay, whatever software. Whatever software. That's my new motto, Peter. Whatever software. Whatever software, comma, whatever software, comma, whatever, comma, software.
It's all garbage. All software is garbage.
It really is. We should talk about brews right now because that's what people have come here for. And then they're going to immediately delete this episode off their device after they hear the brews. So let's get to it. I am doing a repeat today. I'm drinking a Back Porch Coffee Roasters Back Porch Blend. And what I said way back in 2005 was... very nice and smooth. I said it in the opposite order. I'm tired. Easy to brew, easy to drink. And the official words from them were, this is a favored staple here at Back Porch, syrupy and sweet with hints of dark chocolate, cherries, cane sugar, and caramel. And to that, I'll just say, sure, I guess so. And have you been listening to John Chigi's Whiskey podcast? Because it's so good. They say the notes that you're supposed to get from both on the nose and the tasting, and he's like, okay, sure, whatever. Because sometimes they're so elaborate and they're so detailed and they list so many different things, and it's like, no, that's like never going to be in there.
Pencil lead and right, pencil leather. Lead.
Yeah, and maple tree and hints of birds fluttering by, and it's just insane and dumb, and it's like, whatever, dudes.
So no, I have not watched that, but I recommend it. I'm sure I would like it. I just didn't have the bandwidth to add another subscription podcast.
But short, and B, you can also listen to it in the audio format if you need to. And Peter's got
a microphone, needs a shot of Viagra or
I
something.
I was about to say you need something that'll hold that mic up for 4 hours.
Need it. I'm good. Thanks. I get plenty of cholesterol.
I don't.
Testosterone levels
are
great.
Please do not talk to me about your love life right now.
You started it.
Or your appendage angles or any other.
You wanted to go there?
I don't want to know. No, please don't. Oh my God.
So I'm drinking, and I could have sworn.
I'm drinking.
I'm drinking. I could have sworn that we had covered this already on the podcast, but when I searched friendswithbrews.com, I could not find any references to Market Basket French Roast Whole Bean Coffee.
I would remember the words Market Basket. I definitely would remember the words Market Basket.
Yes. So here's the thing. I can't really find it on the Market Basket website. So Market Basket is, for those of you who do not know, it is a local regional grocery store, similar to Wegmans. You've heard of Wegmans. We've talked about Wegmans because Casey Liss always goes to a Wegmans.
And so does Peter. Don't downplay yourself. I think Casey is an imposter. You're the original Wegmaner.
Well, I will, in my defense, I did go to Wegmans back in 2017, I believe, when it opened here. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that was before I was listening to ATP, so I'm not sure.
It was before you were listening to ATP.
I did not go to Wegmans based on Casey Liss, I will say that. So, anyway.
Plus Casey Liss.
Market Basket, you know, they generally have decent stuff. They tend not to have, like, a large selection of organic products, so I don't buy a lot of my stuff there. But things that I don't normally buy organic, I will often buy at Market Basket because it tends to be cheaper. One of those things I tried a few months ago was their coffee, and it's their French Roast Whole Bean Coffee, which I cannot find on their website because their website doesn't actually do like e-commerce, but
it doesn't
do
website things.
Find it on Instacart, and I will read to you what it says on Instacart. Market Basket French Roast Whole Bean Coffee, $6.99, 20 ounces, rate product, one count, minus plus, add to cart.
Okay, do you agree with the add to cart?
I do agree because I did add it to my cart and it did show up. I agree with the plus sign one count because I did click on it and buy two of them.
Okay, sounds like they've accurately described their product.
The receipt did say Market Basket, and the coffee on the bag also did say Market Basket French Roast Whole Bean Coffee.
Truth in advertising.
It's a coffee.
It's a coffee. Is that your review?
It's drinkable, all right? It's when I first had it, I was hot off of, you know, I had just run out of Wegmans store brand dark roast whole bean coffee, which is my go-to most days. And it wasn't, I didn't like it quite as much. I was like, eh, it's all right. And after that, much like a fungus, not to be confused with mushroom coffee.
We're back to Peter's appendages.
We'll need to talk with friend of the show, Adam Bell, about. It grew on me.
Peter, does your mic have a fungus?
No, I don't generally spit on it and keep it hot and, you know, dark enough to grow fungi. So I will say, overall, I have gotten to like this coffee. It's quite drinkable, and I buy it and drink it.
So basically,
in typical market basket fashion, $6.99 for 20 ounces.
That's
now,
an important feature.
I compare that to, say, Vermont Coffee Company whole bean dark roast. That's $13.99 for 16 ounces. So almost twice the price for 75% less.
Yeah, basically, so just swap the numbers. Swap the price with the grams.
Pretty much. And it's also, it's cheaper than Wegmans as well. So, you know, it's like, given a choice between those two, I would take the Vermont Coffee Company Extra Dark over Wegmans over Market Basket. So if you're looking to save a buck, here you go. This is the way to do it.
I think Peter just did a coffee tier list right here, right on FUB.
Bada bing.
Bada bing. Mini coffee tier list. So it sounds to me like what you're saying is that if you drink mediocre coffee long enough, you will grow to accept it and tolerate it.
Yeah, your taste buds will adapt and you'll say, you know what? I used to think this was terrible, but it's okay.
You just explained 99% of American taste in anything is, if you just live with mediocrity long enough, you think it's great pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. And more so, we go way below mediocrity. Just look at Washington. God.
Yeah, just, yeah, anyway.
All right, so that's what we're drinking these days.
Right.
Let's talk
this
about
day.
Some
I don't topics. Know about these days, but this day.
Well, this day we're drinking this, yes, exactly. Keeping it coffee adjacent. I did want to give an update.
The adjacency.
Yes, so we
I
both
the
have
adjacency.
The fellow Opus coffee burr grinder.
Hey, fellow, where's your Opus?
And you may recall, I bought a second one for my place up in Vermont.
I do recall.
And you also got a replacement because yours died.
Right, and thanks to you, I got a replacement. You should remind me of that every time you say that. You should just end all your sentences and damn it, and make sure that everyone knows that the reason that I successfully got a replacement is because of you, not because of me, because of you.
Right. So okay. Because of me, you got a replacement, and you have a working burr grinder, and it's a quite good one.
Damn it.
What I did notice is the new one now, it was grinding much more quickly than the old one. Mm. And I have concluded, based on that and also the sound, it has a different motor in it. No question.
I thought you were going to say, based on the sound and the speed, you determined that they actually sent you a wood chipper instead of a coffee grinder.
I think the new one could chip wood. Yeah, I could try that. I'm not going to. That might void the warranty. I'm not sure. But I do have that, and I took the new one. And last time I was up in Vermont, I swapped them out because down here in Massachusetts, faster pace of life. I need the coffee right now. Up in Vermont.
I was about to say, in
time.
At home, when you're doing most of your time in meetings, you need that coffee to be prepared in 3.2 seconds.
But really what happens is, like, if I take the same amount, like 20 some odd grams of coffee, and I put it in the new one, and I hit the button once for 30-second grind, it will grind through that whole thing in less than 30 seconds.
Wow.
For my old one, I need to hit the button twice and have it go through, and it takes 60 seconds.
There's
regardless
something wrong with
of where
yours.
You put the dial.
Well, there's something wrong with yours. Mine will go through 20 grams of coffee in way faster than 30 seconds. It's still, you can tell that it's done way before the 30 seconds is
you
up.
You can tell. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong. This is the way that one always was. I think it's just, but it's the oldest out of yours, mine, and the two that you've had, actually.
Yeah, right.
It's the oldest one. So I think that since I bought that one and you got yours and I got my replacement, or my second one and you got your replacement, they updated the motor.
Somebody at Fellow was like, damn it, this coffee tastes too long.
Exactly. So that's my coffee and coffee adjacent update.
By the way, I do want to say one thing that I just realized, because I was going to say a different swear word instead of the one that I chose. because of the way that we're recording this now, it's not possible. I can't slide the sound effects around like I used to be able to. So if I'm going to bleep out a swear, I have to do it real time when the swear happens. So, just so you know, if whatever words you say are probably actually going to be in the podcast now because of the way that we're recording.
No so, editing. Got it.
It's impossible for me to slide those over. I could.
In
I
the
could
immortal
the
words
word out
of
and,
Bill O'Reilly, we'll do it live.
And, oh God, why? Why Bill O'Reilly, Peter?
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
Now, last time I did clip out a couple of swear words just because of that fact. So that's fine. I can do that. But sliding around the sound effect for comedic hilarity, which I'm sure all the listeners only listen because they want to hear the clinking sound. I can't really do that as well anymore. All right, let's get to your topics, Peter, because you have topics, I've noticed.
Peter,
I've been getting tapped on the wrist incessantly about Peter topics.
So, moving on Amazon Prime Day, you and I both purchased a renewed Mac Mini M1.
We each purchased our own, yes.
We each purchased our own for a good price of $260.
Yeah. Right?
And this is a, you know, it, what is it, 8 gigs of RAM? Whatever
the
lowest.
8 gigs of RAM, 256 SSD.
SSD. Yep.
Gigabytes, not terabytes.
And my intention was just to swap out my little old Intel Nook and use it as, replacement for my Foundry server, my Foundry virtual tabletop, as well as L-Scale. I hit a little bit of a snag on that just because the Foundry virtual tabletop seems to run slower on this thing than it does on my like 5 or 7 year old Intel Nook with a little AMD processor. Not really sure why that is.
And my guess is there's something different about the way it runs on Windows versus Mac OS. There's some difference
Linux versus Mac, but yeah. But yeah, it is cross-platform compatible. And there are a number of different versions too. It's like, you can download Foundry if you want to run it as a Node.js app. You can do that on Linux, or you can run it as a more traditional. There's lots of different options. I get the feeling that the Mac version was kind of just a port. Now, that said, I have run it natively on my MacBook, and it ran okay. So I'm not exactly sure what's going on. And I don't think it was the current MacBook, too. I think it was my old MacBook Air that I was running it on. So I'm not 100% sure what's going on. I will investigate further and report back.
But my memory tells me, and I could be making this up, but my memory tells me that you took it off your MacBook Air for reasons. There was a reason you put it on a separate machine.
Yes. I did because like my friends wanted to update their characters, and one of my friends wanted to run his game on my Foundry server.
Okay.
Meaning he could only do that when my Mac was running.
Wait. Right? Why don't you just give your friend? Why don't you just leave your Mac on and give your friends full access to your Mac 24/7, Peter? I don't see
because it's
wrong.
A laptop, and I put it in a backpack, and I get into a car.
Really? You don't have public transit there in Boston?
I do that too.
Boy, you're defensive. Okay.
It's called the laptop dumbass. No punctuation.
Oh, okay.
All right. Now do you get it? Okay.
Yeah. I get it.
But here's the funny thing. So it was $260 on Amazon Prime Day, and then you and I discussed it afterwards, and it was $199. So I bought the second one as well.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So I'm going to replace my, home servers, because right now my little home servers, again, I've got this little Intel Nook, which is running just fine. I also have 2 Intel Core i7 processors to the tune of, like, I think they're 7 or 8 years old at this point. They're old HP workstation laptops, and they run just fine. The only problem is, regardless of what I have it set for settings on power and sleep and screensaver, when you close the lid, they turn off or they go into standby mode. And, in general, in my house here in Boston, not likely that's going to happen. It's going to sit downstairs in the basement where it's pretty much undisturbed. Up in Vermont, though, when I have my contractor running around, or maybe I have cleaners come in, they may, clean around it, touch a key, close the lid, and hey, my server is offline, and it's 150 miles away from me, and I can't easily restart it there. So I figured it was time enough for an upgrade, and even though these aren't, brand new state-of-the-arts, an M1 Mac Mini should be leaps and bounds more powerful than a 2017 Core i7 processor. You would know better given that you used to work at Monolith 3000.
But the problem is as you know, that means nothing unless you know what generation it is, unless you know what CPU, you know, it just doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. But still, 7 years versus, when did the M1 Mac Mini, when did the M1 come out?
I don't know, 20, let's see. I had a M1 Pro from 2020 or 2021. Yeah. So anyway, it was either 2020 or 2021.
I think it's about 1 year, isn't it? We're at the M4s now, give or take. So it's a few years ahead, and we had this, you know, leaps and bounds, you know, advancement in technology.
2020. That was right.
Yeah. So not regretting my purchases. So yeah, that's our Mac Mini update.
Yeah.
And I'll go over to you.
I've got mine mounted under my desk, and it's also Etherneted into my router, and it is a Tailscale exit node for me. And so far, I haven't actually used it that way because I did that after I got back from Japan. Otherwise, I
know.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool because I needed, and I also have been, let me, 192.168.1. What was it? 256. Anyway, I have it also running a open source monitoring piece of software. So
something like Uptime Robot, but open sourced and free, right?
Yeah, and it works pretty good. The problem that I'm having with it right now, and I need to figure out what I'm going to do about it, is it really gets excitable and thinking there's downtime sometimes when there's not. And so basically what it'll do is, you know how sometimes Uptime Robot will say, oh, something's down. Oh, no, it's up again. But, it, you know, Uptime Robot does it way less often where it's like confused for a minute and then it'll say, oh, it's down. And then immediately it'll turn around and go, oh, don't worry, it's up again. Well, this does that far more frequently.
Is that, can you just toggle the clipping levels, the threshold, and just make it like don't alert immediately, but wait like 30 seconds or wait a minute or something?
I don't know. I haven't found a way. So
I have that for my Foundry server, for instance.
Yep.
My Tailscale exit node / Foundry server. Well, I just threw this into a note because I was looking for something on YouTube I wanted to share. And you notice that YouTube has been doing a lot of classic movie collections, like for free, just streaming. You can just go watch them. I pointed the Godzilla ones out to you a while ago. Apparently right now, live, Superman Christopher Reeve collection compilation is on. So you can see that on YouTube right now. We'll put it in the show notes. I just saw the James Gunn Superman movie, and it was great. And then last night, I just saw the Fantastic Four movie, and I think it was maybe even a little greater. So there you go.
Did you watch any of the Godzilla or whatever it was?
A little bit. I didn't have a lot of time, and I really couldn't get into it. I scrolled to a couple of fight scenes, one where he was getting squirted by a giant lobster.
Okay. Does that happen?
Yeah. I mean, I saw it.
Okay, I finally got it. Sorry, the open source monitoring software that I'm using is called Uptime Kuma.
Kuma. Panda, right?
Kuma just means bear. I'll put a link to the GitHub repo in the show notes for
Kuma
this.
Kuma does just mean bear, but in the old Tekken video game, you had two choices you could play. One was Panda and the other was Kuma. That's where I first heard the word Kuma.
I don't think I ever played that game.
That was fun, so... Yeah, Uptime Kuma. That looks kind of cool.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm running that on there, and I'll have to look and see if I can change the... What I did not see when I set up the notifications, so let me go here. Let me go to settings, go to notifications, and see. And it doesn't look like... Set up notification. Client ID, tokens, stand silently, protect forwarding. If enabled, nope. Default enabled to apply on all existing monitors. Now, there's no way to set a time on it. You can set the things that it notifies for, but there's no real way to say, hey, you know, you might want to filter yourself out a little bit. Make sure it's really down before you panic. There's nothing like that. I'll have to get on their GitHub repo and look under issues and see if other people have complained about this or if I'm the only one.
Should we keep it tech adjacent and talk about AppleCare 1?
Yeah, talk about AppleCare 1. You apparently did the math, and I did the math too, but what I don't know is if I try to switch to AppleCare 1, what I don't know is if my wife and daughter's devices will show up as eligible for me to add.
I don't believe that if they're on, if they're tied to separate Apple accounts, I don't believe that is going to work based on what I heard them talking about on ATP. What I do know is I am paying for AppleCare on a monthly basis, I believe, on two phones and an iPad.
And two Mac Minis. No, you're not.
Didn't put any on a Mac Mini, but my HomePod, my watch, and my MacBook Pro, I believe, oh, and my AirPods are all annual or biannual subscriptions. Or I think one, I think the MacBook might have been a 3-year. So those I'll probably not touch. But even if I just roll up the three ones that I'm paying monthly right now for, you know, I'll pay $20 a month instead of like the $25 that I'm doing right now. And then it may make sense because I think you can do two more. So then I could like potentially roll in the MacBook or something like that and get a refund on those as well.
That would be
so. AppleCare one for those. I think if I remember correctly, it says you can enroll up to five devices. But what I'm going to do is after I get off of this call, I'm going to just call Apple support and have them confirm and walk me through it because that's what they're there for.
You don't want to add them to this call?
We could try that if you think we could conference them in.
It probably would be kind of boring. Plus, we'd have to ask their permission. Hey, so tell me, remind me, is it, it's $20 a month for...
I think it was up to five devices, if I recall correctly.
But it's $20 a month.
$20, $19.99 plus taxes. But I, again, like I'm already paying $10 a month for each for two phones. So right there, that's my AppleCare.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll have to look into it because right now for my own devices, I would not save any money. I think it'd be the, exactly the same. So what I'm paying
the
right
same.
Now.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same, yep. Yeah.
Yep. So for work, I use Outlook and I'm looking at my work Outlook and I very clearly do not have anything scheduled for 11:30 a.m. my time, which is 3 minutes from now.
Mm-hmm.
However, in the calendar app on my work laptop and on my home laptop, because I sync my work calendar into my personal, I do have a meeting in 3 minutes. I can be a few minutes late, but is it okay if we accelerate this a little bit and wrap it? Okay. So yeah, I did want to talk.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I was just going to say, as related to meetings, I'll put link in the show notes so you don't have to figure out how to spell this, but Sinir Sorhas, if that guy ever dies, the Mac community is going to suffer because he makes all kinds of great apps. And I use many of these apps, but one of the apps that I use is a Mac app called Dato. It puts a menu bar calendar and world clocks in your menu bar because, as I said, it's a menu bar calendar. But the nice thing about this is, it does meeting notifications. So when it's time for a meeting, if it has a video component, like if it has a Teams call or a Zoom call scheduled, there's an option. You don't have to do this, but you can do a full screen notification where it pops right up and it says, hey, it's time for that meeting. And you all you do is click join video call and it opens Zoom or it opens Teams or it opens whatever app. It's great. I love it so much.
Yeah. So that reminds me, and I have that use case because at work, we standardize on Teams, big surprise, you know, a lot of places do because, hey, it's free, quote unquote, right?
Yep.
But I often get invites to Zoom meetings. Mm-hmm. And when I click join meeting in Outlook, it's like, nope, cannot join the meeting. So I have to double click the meeting, open it up, scroll down, find the correct link, which when they're all obscured with mail.protection.outlook.com, blah, 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 I often find out, this is how you join a meeting. Oh, thank you, Zoom. That's wonderful. And then I have to go back, close the browser, go back to Outlook, find it, and go. So that sounds really cool. Like, just give me the, as my work colleague would say, just give me the juice.
Yeah, and the other thing is it has, so when you click on the menu bar thing, there's a little slider there. So if you add locations, like I've got Tokyo, London, UTC, and Boston, I can slide around so that I could set the time. They want a meeting at such and such time in Boston time. Okay, and then it shows me what time that would be my time. And that makes it super easy to just schedule things right there. So it's great.
So I have not used this, but I know on the ATP, one of the guys, it might be Marco, I think, is using the app called Due, D-U-E, and as an alternative to Reminders. You were mentioning early about wanting to get selected with your notifications.
Yeah, the problem is...
I don't know if this has that capability. I just wanted to throw that out
there. It's not selective about your notifications. The benefit that it has is, unlike Apple Reminders, when you blow past a notification, it will keep pestering you until the end of eternity. I have used it in the past because Apple Reminders does stop reminding me, and I do let things slip accidentally because of that. And then I go back and go, that was due 3 days ago. But due is somehow too annoying. And what it does is it winds up pestering me incessantly at times that I have no ability to do whatever it was that it's reminding me of. And so I still never get them done, and I'm pissed off.
You can't snooze?
You can, but it's just, I don't know. I tried it. When I worked at Monolith 3000, I thought, this will be perfect. I will try this. I tried it, and it drove me insane. And I said, get this bleeping thing or whatever off my device because I'm going to throw something. So okay. It didn't work for me. That doesn't mean it's not a good idea. And it does address the need that Apple Reminders will just go, hey, over here. It's like somebody waving weakly in a crowd and you're supposed to, they're the most important person in the world. You're supposed to pick them up, but they're just kind of like, oh, I'm over here.
The thing I don't like about Reminders these days is like on any given day, I will generally have close to 24 reminders due. Like right now, I have 28 things that I'm supposed to do today or have done by today. These include meditation, journaling, studying German.
Okay, so some of those are your own fault.
But they're all my own fault. I made all of these reminders.
Right, but some of them are undoubtedly work-related. Those are nothing
right,
you
I
can
need
do
to
about.
Check on with a prospect about a pen test scoping call and yada, yada, yada. So a few different things to do. And some of them I just haven't done, right? So it's like, well, I don't want to mark them as completed. And I suppose I could just kick them forward until next week or something. But anyway, I've got, like, right now I have 28 things I need to do. Okay, I need to check the laundry. Already did that. Look up Apple Care 1. Already did that. I eat creatine. Okay, already did that. Do my primal squat exercises. Did that. You know, so there's, like, tons of different things that's going on. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I should look at do or not. But the thing I don't like about it, which is annoying, is I will log in to... Or in the morning, I pick up my phone and I get all my reminders summarized. And it's like, oh, due today. And it will have things that are due like this evening.
Yes.
And
sometimes it'll give you things that were due 3 or 4 days ago. That's the other thing that drives me insane.
Because they're still on the list.
I guess. I don't know. But it's the same with notifications, though. I get the same thing with notifications in general. Sometimes I'll get a notification for something. It'll say, oh, here's your notification summary. And it'll pop up something that happened forever ago, but it didn't notify me at the time, and now it's notifying me, and it wasn't that I was in any mode or anything. I don't know. I just don't trust Apple to... There's no way I trust Apple. If my life depended on getting things in a timely fashion, I would not say, Apple, thank God you're here, because otherwise I would be dead right now. No, I would be dead. I wouldn't be able to say that, because I would be dead. So. All right.
Just because I should jump onto this meeting, I'm a few minutes late. But we've got some good updates to talk about a new potential media subscription for you and a new subscription for me. I did buy, as I mentioned, Adam, I subscribed formally paid to Adam Mockler Media today. And we can talk about more about that next week. But one thing I did notice is that it includes 5 free 1-month trials. So if you want to see what his behind-the-scenes stuff is like, I can extend you and maybe a listener one. So we'll talk about that next week, though, next episode.
Sounds good. Yeah, and by the way, yeah, thanks for... I never heard of that guy. I'm not one of the 1.4 billion people that had heard of him already. But yeah, he does good videos. And again, like you said, the titles are clickbait, but that's YouTube. It sucks.
He's even talked about it. He's just like, I hate having to do this, but that's what it takes to get people's attention. I'm like, okay. Yeah. But I myself have said that the left and Democrats and progressives, genuine progressives, have to play the games that the right and the Republican have been doing. Like, we have to beat them at their own game. So we have to yell. We just have to yell as loud as they do.
Yeah, I guess so. what I don't want us to do, what and what he does not do is, I don't want to go down the Rush Limbaugh angry. I'm always angry. Gosh damn it. Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to foment rage as a way of beating the other side. But anyway. Yep. Okay. Sounds good.
A fine line.
Peter, can you tell people how they found us?
They found us on friendswithbrews.com. They might have found you on app.net.lol.social.thing.
No.
They found us on friendswithbrews.com. Let's just leave it at that.
That's how they found it. That's right.
And now, with that, one of us, probably you, should push the big red button.
Tell your friends.
I just did.